You know, if Phil has a favorite, that means he probably has a least favorite as well, but he chose not to share that with us. Is that true, Phil? If we're going to rank these kids, these parents, steal people's joy this morning. Supposed to be happy. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we're going to take a look at verses 7 through 10 this morning. Before we do, Phil, do you have a favorite grandchild of all the ones that you have? Do you want to share that one with us? Oh, okay. I got you. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 7 through 10. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and all that you have already done. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the joy that we've experienced in praising your name. Just being reminded of the good news about Jesus. And Lord, it is good news. Thank you for the opportunity to take communion together. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to stand beside these young parents as they declare their absolute dependence upon you for their children. And we thank you for this opportunity to open your word and learn from it, to be instructed by it, to hear your voice. As we know, this word has been breathed out by you. And Lord, this word is profitable. This word is valuable to us. And so, Lord, would you take your word and would you accomplish all of your good purposes in our lives this morning? Lord, we need your help to understand this. We need your help, Lord, honestly, to just enjoy the life you've called us to live. And so, Lord, would you take these words and would you enable us to enjoy this life by the grace of God? So give us those ears to hear and hearts to understand. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we've been in Ecclesiastes. If you're new, if you're visiting, we've been making our way through this book for a while now. And as we've been making our way through this book, we've been learning from Solomon as he's sort of been on this hunt to find what's the meaning of life? What's the purpose of life as it's lived out here under the sun or here on the earth? And it's been a journey. And one of the reasons I've shared this before is that we've been going through this book is, like, personally, I started reading it and studying because I want to know how to enjoy this life. I want to know what God has called me to, and as I've been going through this book, because as Solomon's been wrestling with sort of that same question, what's the purpose? How do we enjoy what we're actually doing here? We've learned a lot. We've learned that there's a lot of ups and downs, and so that's why we've been going through this book, is just following Solomon as he's looked at life, lived under the sun, and he's showed us a lot of things. And today what he's going to do is he's going to help us learn again how to enjoy this one life that God has given us to live, because that's all we get. We get one life. And this one life that we are called to live, we don't know how many days we get. We don't know how many weeks we get. We don't know how many months we get. We don't know how many years we get to live this one life. Life expectancy in the United States for males right now is about 73 and a half years, which is kind of sobering a little bit as I get older. That used to be a lot, and then as I looked at that number this week, I was just thinking, more than halfway there. And for females, it's 79.3 years. But we're not guaranteed to live that long. And no one really knows how long that we're actually going to live. And so every single day that we wake up, every breath that we get to take is a gift that God gives to us. And what we've been learning, it's a gift that we're meant to enjoy. It's a gift that we're to find happiness in. Now, 2 years ago, I met a neighbor. Me and my boys mow lawns, and so I meet a number of neighbors in my neighborhood and the neighborhood around us as well. And so 2 years ago, I met a neighbor when they asked me to trim their bushes for them because their husband at the time was unable to trim the bushes because he was diagnosed with ALS. This past week, I was asked to start mowing their backyard or their whole yard because he was unable to do really anything. And as I went to the house, the wife invited me into the house to go to see the backyard. And as I walked through the house, there was her husband laying on a medical bed, unable to move. He's not an old man. He's maybe in his 40s. And he and his wife have, I think, a 2-year-old daughter. And he's not going to see 73 and a half years. And I left his house praying for his family and thanking God for life. I also left his house sort of sobered by the reminder that life really is short. And a long life is not guaranteed. And I think every one of us knows this. Every single breath that we're able to take, it is a gift from God. And what we're going to learn this morning from our text is that since we only get one life to live, we must learn to enjoy this life for the glory of God. And again, this is why we've been studying this book together. Don't you want to enjoy this life that God's given to you? Don't you want to like just wake up happy? Or at least be happy at some point during your day? Well, I'd say God has created us to be happy. He's created us to be satisfied, fully satisfied in Him. And to enjoy all of His goodness that He pours out upon us every single day. And I would say there is a lot of His goodness that we experience every single day. And so He's created us. I think part of glorifying Him in all that we do is learning to enjoy Him and all that He gives to us. And it's not easy. I think it's easy to say. But as we've made our way through this book, we've seen Solomon sort of on that pursuit, and we've seen him kind of just go like this. He's found some things he really likes, and then he's found some things that he doesn't really like at all, but yet there's this call for us to enjoy life. And so he's called us to enjoy eating. He's called for us to enjoy drinking. He's called for us to enjoy our marriages. And so at some point during this letter, we come to this spot where we're just like, I guess the Lord's called us to be happy. Or I guess the Lord's called for us to really pursue joy and to enjoy this life today, to enjoy this very next breath we get, because we don't know how many more we get. But as long as we get one and as long as we get to take another step, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy every single day that we get by the grace of God. Now, to help us learn this truth, or to learn how to enjoy our life just a little bit more, we're going to take a look at 3 points this morning from this text. And in our first point, we learned that we are to rejoice in the goodness of life. Rejoice in the goodness of life. Even though Solomon has been teaching us throughout this book that life under the sun is all vanity, and he spent a lot of time on that. Life under the sun is all vanity. Life apart from God, in many ways, it's just meaningless. And then when he's just looking at life in general by vanity, he's saying it's just short. It's a breath. It's this mist. You breathe in and you breathe out and it's just sort of gone. And then he's taught us that it's also sort of just, it never fully satisfies. Nothing here on earth apart from God, it in itself, it just doesn't ever fully deliver. And we all know what that feels like, right? When you get that new car and it's really exciting to pull away in that thing, and then it sort of wears off and it's like, I kind of need a new car. Like that one was good for a season, but now it's not as good. And I like another one. And so we chase things. We run after them because the reality is nothing ever fully satisfies. God and God alone satisfies, yet we're called to enjoy these things. And so he's been making that point. And in verse 7, he says this, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. This world that God has created has so many sweet and pleasant things in it, and we just witnessed it. I mean, as a dad of older kids, every single time we have a baby dedication, I immediately think about when my kids were up there and the chaos they would create at different points in time. Like, we've had parents stand up here and they're holding another kid. You don't have to raise your hand if this is you, while they're dedicating one child, and the other 2-year-old or less is like smacking dad on the face. And it's sweet in some way, some weird way. It's just sweet, and it brings a smile to everybody's face, especially if you're a parent and you've walked through that season, because you remember what that season was like. I don't know that if you find yourself in the midst of it, you'd always say sweet and pleasant, but the reality is it's sweet and pleasant. There are so many sweet and pleasant things into this world that we would just say that's God's goodness. Those are the things that we're called to rejoice in. We're called to intentionally look at and think about and see them as gifts from God. Think about this past week. We all witnessed, or at least we're sort of around it, a total solar eclipse. How many people saw it? Okay, this is a question. If you can raise your hand. How many people just stayed in your office and ignored it? Okay, so that just happens. There's probably tons of people that did that. But that was a gift from God. And it's amazing. It's amazing. I was just driving, and then I got to a field, and I pulled my glasses out, and I'm looking at this thing. And it's amazing. Because it doesn't happen every day. It's rare. And those things like that are gifts from God given to us to just stop and just see how sweet the Lord is to us. To see how pleasant it is to live life here sometimes, or a lot of times, but it's hard to enjoy that if you're stuck in your office without windows. Or maybe you just forget about it, and the next thing you know, you walk outside and you're like, dang, I got to wait a few years for something close to, how many years to the next one? 18, 17? What's that? A lot. We'd be older by the time that happens and things like that. But the point is, like, if you're intentional, you get to see it. If you forget about it and you're not intentional, you're just going about doing your own business, you just sort of take things for granted, and you just expect life to work a certain way that you never really stop to really see what Solomon is saying here, that the light is sweet, and it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. He's just saying, listen, when you look out at this life that you've been called to live, there are a lot of good things to see. There are a number of wonderful things to find joy in, to rejoice in. Solomon's been telling us here that a lot of things in life are worth rejoicing in, taking great enjoyment in, but sometimes we can take these things for granted. Food, he tells us, is meant to be enjoyed, especially when it tastes good. Every day the sun shines, it's a good day, especially when we go a few days with cloudy skies and rain. But when that sun's shining and you're at the beach, is that a good day? Yeah, but what happens when you go to the beach and it's cloudy and rainy? It's kind of disappointing, isn't it? We had that a week ago. We went to Virginia Beach to see my daughter. It was 80 degrees at my brother-in-law's house, and we're like, let's just go to the beach. And we get down there, well, the water's cold, and it's cloudy, and the wind's blowing off the water. And it was like, felt like 55 degrees. But you know what made it a good day? You know what was worth rejoicing in? I was standing in front of the ocean with my family. It was freezing. But there are sweet things present even with cloudy skies. Rain days can also be enjoyed. I like a good rain day because you know what it gives me? Rest. I don't have to mow a single yard. I typically don't have to get on a baseball field or do any of that stuff. And so especially I like Sunday afternoon rain days are the best days because it gives us a nap. But it also waters the ground. And so again, you see, there's something sweet in a cloudy, rainy day. Something pleasant in those days that's worth rejoicing in. Now that I've been on Facebook for over a decade, I'm sure your life's like this as well, I get these reminders of what life was like 10 years ago or longer when old posts pop back up. I get to see pictures of my kids when they were little, and these photos of them, they bring me joy. Anybody else ever see that? It makes me glad that I did that, and I've stopped doing that, and I just think, oh, I'm going to miss out on so much, but I'm grateful for my wife who's posting these things, because I need these reminders. And then I take these photos and I copy them and I send them into our family chat and I send them to pictures of them when they were like 2 and 3, and I just say things like, do not miss out on what God has given to you today. Don't take for granted where you're at today because it goes by fast. And that's the other thing I think about as these parents are up here and they're dedicating their kids. For some of mine, it's been over 22 years ago I did that. It's been 17, almost 18 years since the last time we dedicated one of our kids. Can't remember the last time I got to hold them. They're so big now. It just goes by fast. But the point is, God's called us to enjoy what we have today. And when I see those pictures and I see those reminders, it makes me want to just stop, slow down, and enjoy what's happening today. In a sense, that's what Solomon's getting after here. He's trying to say, listen, the light is sweet and it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Open your eyes. Enjoy what God has given to you today. Slow down a little bit and recognize that today is a gift from God. That it is an expression of his goodness to us. Do not take any of it for granted, or you might just miss out on a lot of joy. And that's really what, in some ways, I've been after, and for us as a church have been after, if we've been going through this book together, is how can we be really happy? How can we find the most joy ever in our marriages today? How can we find the most joy possible in what we do on a Sunday morning? How can you find the most joy possible when you go to work every day? Or how can you find the greatest joy that God has for you in the midst of your current parenting season? Well, in some ways, Solomon will say, slow down. See what God is doing. See what is sweet and what is pleasant. And rejoice in those things. For God's goodness is present every day. And there's a command in here where he calls for us to rejoice in all of the years. So it's something we should be pursuing. We should actively be pursuing joy and delight in God and all that God gives to us. Philip Ryken, in his commentary, said the following. He said, what a joy it is, therefore, to live many years. Now, he's kind of talking to older people here. What a joy it is, therefore, to live many years, not only because we have more time to serve the Lord in sowing and reaping, but also because we have more opportunity to enjoy the goodness of life. And I love this quote, and the reason I'm sharing it is because I think sometimes when we get saved, in my experience, and experience talking to others, is is some of the things that can really rob us of joy sometimes is found in this quote where we think about the many years the Lord gives us, and we think, okay, I want these many years to be just full of just sacrificial sowing and reaping. I'm just going to give myself to serving the Lord. I'm going to do all these things. But what I like about this quote is he's saying it's not just about that. I'm not saying that's bad, and Philip Ryken's not saying that bad. But he's also saying if you get the opportunity to live many years, you're also given many more opportunities to experience God's goodness. So it's not just about, I'm going to spend as many years as possible serving the Lord, which we want to do. But what he's kind of drawn our attention to here, too, is if you also get to live and to an old age, you get to experience more of God's goodness. And you're going to experience more reasons to rejoice in God's goodness. But you got to see it. Psalm 91, verse 16 says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. See, a long life is a blessing from God. Yes, it gives you more time and opportunities to serve the Lord and grow in your faith, but it gives us more opportunities to experience and rejoice in the goodness of God expressed throughout his creation. And we've experienced many of them already this morning. You get to see more sunrises from different places. So if you get to live many years, you get to see many sunrises. That's God's goodness. And if you travel, you get to see him from many different places. You get to love your spouse longer. What a gift. You get to see your kids grow up. And maybe your grandkids. What a gift. God's goodness to us. This is older people who get to live many years. You get to meet more people. Different types of people. And oh, let me remind you, people are created in the image of God after his likeness. So you get many opportunities to rejoice in the goodness of God. You get to travel more places if you live many years. You get to experience the good things in this world. You get to experience things like technology advancing. How many of you haven't had an iPhone your whole life? Yeah, if you're my age, you didn't. I didn't even have the internet until, I don't know, close to 20 years old. My first cell phone, I think, I can't remember. I know my wife, she got one at, what, 25? Oh, higher. We'll say 25. Anyways, you get the point. Like, as we get older, technology advances, we get to experience other things. And that's a gift from God that we're meant to rejoice in. You get to see more flowers bloom. You get to work more hours. God's created us to work. He's called for us to enjoy working. So as you get to live many years, you get to work more. And you get to enjoy it. You get to read more books, more good books. You can buy more things. You get to eat more Peeps. You do. I'm a big Peep fan. How many Peep fans we got? Not many. So, the older you get, the more Easters you get to experience, the more Peeps you get to eat, more jelly beans. I am just a sucker for jelly beans. My kids don't eat them. We have 3 bags because Sarah gave each a bag. I eat all of them for the glory of God. That's what Solomon's after. Like, do you enjoy it? There's no shame in eating a Peep or a jelly bean. And the older I get, the more I get to eat them, Lord willing. And chicken ranch sandwiches. What a gift. Or smoothies from Eden. That's just moving up my chart. I'm not lying to you. I love it. A smoothie from Eden is probably my favorite at this point in my life. You also get to drink more coffee. You do. If you like coffee, you get to drink as much coffee as you want for the glory of God. And you get to try different IPAs. That too, for the glory of God. Solomon has said it. If you're going to drink, enjoy it responsibly. You get to listen to your favorite song more times. And you get to learn new favorite songs. You get to worship more Sundays. in all of this, this is reason to rejoice. That's what Solomon's after. If you've lived many years, rejoice in them all. Well, what do we rejoice in? All these things. Every breath you take, every peep you eat, every drum you bang on, every son you see, every child that gets dedicated, every child that gets to be born, every tree you get to look at, everything. It's just an expression of God's goodness. And it's reason for us to rejoice in. And listen, if you live long enough, you might just get to see your Atlanta Falcons win a Super Bowl. There was a lot of joy that Sunday, wasn't there, until overtime. But can you imagine if they win? That's what Solomon's after. Just keep your eyes open. There is a lot of sweetness, a lot of reason to rejoice. But this call to rejoice also comes with a call to remember. Verse 80 says, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. So there will be many expressions of God's goodness for us to rejoice in. And there will also, he says, remember, there's going to be many dark days. The sun's not always going to be really, really bright. There's actually going to be some days that don't taste sweet, but instead it tastes pretty bitter. And what Solomon does, he just gives us a realistic view of life here under the sun. There's a lot of good things that we're called to pay attention to and to praise God for. And there's also a lot of hard things that we are called to endure. And as James would tell us, to count it a joy. But in some ways, I think what he's doing here is he's trying to help us be intentional in the things you rejoice in, and don't get caught off guard, or don't be surprised by suffering, trouble, and hardship, or don't let those things steal your joy, because those things are also a reality to the world in which we live in, a world that God has created us to work in, a world that God has redeemed us to live in. And so don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when your marriage gets hard. Don't be surprised when parenting gets hard. Don't be surprised when you get sick or someone you love dies. Dark days are a reality for us all, just like the bright days are a reality for us too. Again, the point is this: do not take life for granted. Do not take life for granted. Do not spend your life unhappy and mostly aware of the dark days. Don't get in the habit of grumbling and complaining about all your dark days, but instead learn to see the bright days. Learn to see the goodness of God. Learn to rejoice in his goodness every day. For every day is a day that the Lord has made. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Who made this day? Who? Who made yesterday? Who's going to make tomorrow? So all that we experience, all that we walk through, who's made it? So what does he call for us to do in it? To rejoice and be glad in it. In our second point, we learned that we are to rejoice in our youth. And so he kind of turns and he starts talking to younger people. I don't know that I necessarily fit into that anymore unless Phil was up here, because I'm younger than him just by a couple years. And so it's a little bit relative, but you're going to get the point. So the call to rejoice is not just for people who've lived many years and experienced many blessings from God. For in verse 9, Solomon calls the young among us to also rejoice in his goodness. So if you're young, Solomon is calling you here, and God is calling here to be happy, to rejoice in the life that God has given to you. Verse 9, he says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So young people have many reasons to rejoice in the goodness of God. Philip Ryken again says this. He says, young people enjoy many blessings in life. They have fewer cares that come with having adult responsibilities. Like young people, you just got to believe Philip Ryken right now. I know sometimes it's hard to see beyond your age, just like I can't see beyond 45 at this point, but Just learn from him here. You have many blessings in life. You have fewer cares that come from having adult responsibilities. Their bodies are strong and getting stronger. Their hearts are full of good cheer and easy laughter. The future is full of possibilities. There is freedom to take risks and time to go a new direction in life. Young people still dare to dream that they can make a difference in the world. These are all the reasons for the young to rejoice. And I would say there's so many more. If you're older, you know what Philip Ryken's talking about here. You can look back to the days when you were younger and recognize those days as being a little more carefree, a little less stressful, a little lighter in regards to having fewer responsibilities and fewer people in your life to have to care for, a little bit more freedom to actually do what you want to do when you want to do it. And maybe you were a bit stronger and a little bit healthier. As time marches on, we grow older in life. As we grow older in life, we typically take on more responsibility. We get a mortgage. We get married. We have kids. We have bills that just keep coming. We care for more people. And as we get older, our bodies start to age. Instead of getting stronger, we have to fight them actually getting weaker. But eventually they just do. Being young is a gift from God that he gives to us in joy. This season of our lives, it doesn't last long. So if you're young, Solomon would say, enjoy it. Enjoy this season of your life. Enjoy the many blessings of being young. Enjoy your freedom from having to carry all the responsibilities that your parents carry. Enjoy not having to pay a mortgage. Enjoy your time in college as you try to figure out what in the world God has called you to do. Enjoy learning what you're good at and what you're not good at. Enjoy meeting new people and making new friends. Enjoy waking up and being surprised by the Lord. Enjoy your current friends. Enjoy your summer break, your Christmas break, and your spring break. Because when you get older, you don't get those. Enjoy your jobs. I know they seem meaningless at this point in your life, but it's a God-given gift to you where you get to learn a number of things. And Solomon would say, enjoy it. Enjoy staying up late and sleeping in. It's frustrating for your parents, but enjoy it. Enjoy working out. Enjoy eating whatever it is you want. I have a kid on my baseball team who's in the process of eating 5,000 calories a day because he's trying to gain as much weight as possible so he can gain a bunch of just muscle weight because he's got this thing in view. But do you know what happens if you're 45 and you're eating that? It doesn't work. So enjoy it. Enjoy your parents. Enjoy your siblings. Enjoy your family. Enjoy learning about God and this world that he has made. Enjoy picking up your cross, taking a risk for the glory of God and following Jesus. Enjoy being able to spend as much time as you want in his word. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy every single minute of it because it will not last. And one day you will wake up older with real adult responsibilities, with bodies that are not getting stronger but getting weaker, and you will have less freedom to take risks to go in a new direction in life. This season that God has you, and it is a gift. Enjoy it. But as you enjoy it, Solomon says this. He says, know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And so he's saying, go after this, enjoy this, try this, but just know as you do these things, you're going to have to stand before God for all of them. You're going to stand in front of Jesus and have to give account for everything you've ever thought, everything that's ever come out of your mouth, and everything that you've ever done. And so he does that to kind of guide you in your pursuit of joy, because real joy is only really found in God. And so you can go out and you can pursue the things of this world. It will never satisfy. You will never bring you the joy that God has created for you to experience by fearing God and obeying him. And so know this, as you enjoy your youth, as you enjoy this life that God has given to you, you will stand before God. You will stand before Jesus and have to be held accountable for all these things. So pursue your joy responsibly. This leads us to our third and final point, where we learn that we are to remove the bad things in life that rob us of joy. After Solomon calls for the old and young people to rejoice in God's goodness, he calls for us to, verse 10, remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. So a vexation is just any problem that causes worry or concern or sort of angers and annoys you or grieves us. Derek Kidner says, it is the bitterness provoked by a hard and disappointing world. What I love here is just, Solomon is obviously wise, and he's given us some wisdom. He's looked at life, and he's saying, go find joy. Go be happy people. As you fear God and you obey God, just enjoy this world that God's placed you in, and as you do it, there's just going to be some hard things. There's going to be some vexations. There's going to be some pain in your life, and he's saying, if those things are there and you can get rid of them because they're robbing you of joy, he said, get rid of them. Don't mess around with those things that are present in your life that steal your joy. Because you actually have freedom to say no to things. In Christ, you're free to not have to do everything. You're free to pick up a cross and follow Jesus, which is sacrifice and it's service. And part of that sacrifice and service means sometimes we deal with some really hard things, but sometimes we can just say, no, I'm not going to participate in this, or I'm going to remove this. And so when it comes to the pain of the body, it's like if you have a headache all the time and you're just kind of enduring a headache, Solomon would say, take an Advil. Like, you don't have to carry a headache your whole life. Get rid of that headache so you're not walking around with a headache your whole life, sort of angry and discouraged. And so he's after that. So medicine is good sometimes. But this is something I've been thinking about a lot in life. As I've gotten older, one of the things I've realized is I carry a lot more stress. I begin to worry about things. And those things sort of rob me of joy at times. And so I've been in the habit in my life of just saying yes to everything. Can I coach this team? Sure. Can I start mowing lawn? Sure. You want me to pastor at this? Yes. You want to coach another team? Sure. You want to go on vacation? Yes. Well, how's all this going to get done? I have no idea. And I have friends around me saying, you probably shouldn't be doing all those things, and it's taken years. But when I think about what Solomon is saying, some of that is what he's getting at. When we get so busy because we're doing everything, Solomon would say, if there's something that's stealing your joy, get rid of it. You don't have to coach. You actually don't have to mow lawns all the time. You don't have to do these things. And so that's kind of some of the wisdom he's getting at. If these things bother you, if these things annoy you, if these things cause more stress and less joy, maybe you think about not participating in these things. And what I found is that's actually pretty good advice, Solomon. It's actually helpful. It actually increases more joy. More time to do the things that God has actually called us to do. Or things like this. I've noticed that paying close attention to the news is something that distracts and angers me. You know what? I don't have to watch the news. Or spending too much time on social media has a way of stealing joy. I don't have to be on social media, except to find those little 10-year things. Or reading too many fun books doesn't have a way of bringing me the greatest joy that the Lord has for me. And so I have to be careful who I read, what I read, how much I read. I had a friend once say, be careful who you hang out with, and I'm not talking about people. Just other ideas that get planted in my head through a book that I read that has a way of working its way into my mind and then into my heart that steals my joy for Christ. Get rid of it. or giving myself to too many things in life and leaving little time for the things that God has actually called me to steals joy. And the biggest stealer of joy is sin. It's sin. And by the grace of God, through faith in Christ, we can confess these sins and turn away from these sins. So what's your vexation? What are the things in your life that are robbing you of joy? Is there something stealing your joy in your marriage right now? Solomon would say, get rid of it. Is there something stealing your joy in regards to your parenting? Get rid of it. Is there something stealing your joy in regards to the way you relate to your parents? Solomon would say, get rid of it. Life is full of vexations that we don't have to live with. We're free in Christ to get rid of them or to say no to them for a season of life. Until, what I like to say is, until we're mature enough to actually handle them. A lot of these things are really good things, but sometimes I'm not mature enough to be in this or to handle this. Therefore, I need to stay away from that because it causes vexation. We are free in Christ to enjoy this life He has redeemed us to live. There is a time to be young, and there's a time to be old. And by the grace of God, may we learn to enjoy all of them. May we learn to enjoy the good days, the okay days, and even the dark days. May the dark days make the good days even sweeter. And may we all, by the grace of God, be the happiest people on earth, knowing that we have a good Heavenly Father who has loved us, and He has given us His only Son, Jesus Christ, who died to save us. His body was broken, His blood was shed to pay the full penalty for our sins, to free us, to live the life God has called us to live, and that life is meant to be happy. Let us pursue joy in the Lord. Let us recognize the goodness of God each and every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to gather together, to sit before Your word, to worship together. I ask that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us, Lord, that You would enable us to receive Your joy, that we would count it a joy when we meet trials, Lord, that we would look to rejoice in the many days that You give us as we seek to faithfully follow Jesus. And so, Lord, bless us as we leave here now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. May the Lord bless you. May He pour out His Spirit upon you. Have a great Sunday.